Would you please take your Bibles with me this morning? We have two passages of Scripture I'd like us to look at. We're going again to the cross, but this time it's in the upper room. And I forgot. Yes, you may go. It's automatic. They know. Want to take us to the cross again, to the upper room. A conversation that's happening as they're gathered together. Remember to observe Passover. They're reclined around the tables. A debate breaks out, and almost an argument, I guess, breaks out. And I'd like to take a look at that this morning and some of those events around the cross. We'll start in the book of Luke. It's Luke 22. And then I'm going to go to John 13. But again, they're sitting around the tables. Passover's being served. And this debate breaks out amongst the disciples. Luke 22, 24 says, "Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest." Huh. "Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But,'" and there's that little word again, but "you are not to be like that." You're not to be like that. You're supposed to be different. "Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits, who's at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." And then we jump over to John 13. Very familiar passage to us. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. "Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served." It's interesting, John gives us a different viewpoint. You know, Luke gives us his witness account, his viewpoint, but John gives us a little different. "The evening meal is being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Then jump down to a verse, I think I said verse 12. Yeah, verse 12. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Father, we ask for your blessings indeed upon your word today. Lord, take us to the cross. Lord, let us see what's happening around it. Help us to understand it. Help us, Lord, to understand how to make it real for us today, Lord. What do you want us to learn from it that would empower us, Lord, this day and every day to serve you, to work for you, Lord? Help us to see and to do. Amen. Do you remember your first pet? Do you remember your first pet? Do you remember how it was, love at first sight? I grew up with pets all my life. Had several dogs and cats and such. But in my bachelor days, a hunting buddy of mine gave me first pick from his litter of purebred beagles. Little balls of fur, you know, they were really young at the time. I couldn't take it home yet, it was too young. But I fell in love with whom I would name Ginger. Watching Ginger grow up and develop her God-given instinct for chasing bunnies was a delight for me. It was wonderful. Ginger had one purpose in life and one only, to catch that rabbit. It was so much fun. Well, let me ask you a question. Ginger knew her purpose in life, chase bunnies. What's your purpose? And don't tell me chase bunnies. Although Tom would say, yeah. No. deer, chase deer. But what's your purpose in life? On the eve of Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples were asking the same question, I think. His friends and followers were looking for purpose. Why do we exist? Why are we here? Why are we following this Jesus guy? What's our purpose? Judas Iscariot was looking for purpose. Maybe he felt his life of following Jesus was going nowhere and he had to look someplace else. Maybe he was looking for special recognition in the shadow of more popular people like Peter. Maybe he was craving power. He did, I think that Jesus would take over Rome and make himself a king, but that wasn't happening. Maybe Judas had a longing for respect. Aligning himself with important Jewish leaders would make him important. Maybe he was just hungry for money. After all, he was the group's treasurer. But I think he was looking for purpose. We don't know what his purpose was, but we do know that a deal was made for 30 pieces of silver. The disciples of Jesus, I think, were also looking for purpose. As the Passover meal is being prepared, we find them caught in a debate. I think over purpose. They were arguing over power and prestige and position. Who's going to get the sick closest to Jesus during the Passover? It's as if the purpose of their presence at the table was to determine who was the most important disciple. Scripture says, who was the greatest? I think this arguing exposes a flaw, not just in them, but in all of us. Because we've all been there. We've all been there. Sometimes we think the purpose of life is all about us. Me, me, me. But then Jesus enters the picture. And when he enters the picture, you know, he changes everything. I'd like to show you a video segment right now. And let's watch.
When you're not living out the true purpose for your life, it's easy to find yourself discouraged and frustrated. And maybe you know what it's like to be on a road that leads to nowhere. You work hard to get ahead and to pay the bills, to achieve the American dream, but now you're wondering if there isn't something more. Or maybe you go to the gym and you try your best to look your best and your appearance is your purpose, but let's be honest, you're not getting any younger and this is not a battle you're going to win. Or maybe you climb the ladder at work until you finally get the corner office with the great parking space and the impressive title. And then you realize that road doesn't really go anywhere either. Roads like that are hard to build.
So how do we discover our true purpose in life? It was less than 24 hours before Jesus would die, and the disciples still needed help with this one. What was keeping the disciples from living out their true purpose is the same thing that usually gets us going down the road to nowhere. We think the purpose of life is all about us. We put the focus on ourselves and assume that the purpose of life is to have the right seat at the table. The disciples were caught up with the question, who is the greatest? And 2,000 years later, we really haven't changed. Jesus knows he doesn't have much time left with the disciples to help them understand what their lives really need to be about. And the time for sermons is over. So Jesus picks up a towel and a basin of water, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Many of the disciples likely went barefoot and at best wore sandals, so this was a disgusting task. Most roads were just dirt, and there was no sanitation department to clear away the garbage and animal droppings that littered the alleyways. There was also no indoor plumbing, so raw human sewage commonly flowed through the streets. Washing the feet of the house guests was a job reserved for the lowest servant in the house. So while the disciples are arguing over who gets the highest position, Jesus quietly takes the lowest. And he demonstrates a different way to live.
Lord, I won't let you wash my feet.
Peter, unless I wash you, you can't have anything to do with me.
Then you must wash my head and hands as well.
Oh, Peter. A person who has had a bath only needs their feet washed to be entirely clean. And you're clean.
But it wasn't just Peter's feet he washed. There was James and John and Matthew and Andrew, and all 12 very ordinary men watched in amazement as the hands that created heaven and earth lovingly washed them clean. But here's what really gets me. Jesus doesn't discriminate, even to the point of serving Judas.
I'm amazed by this, because if I knew that someone was going to betray me and I had the full power of the universe at my disposal, I can tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't serve him. Serve him up? Absolutely. I wouldn't serve Judas. And yet Jesus takes a towel. He kneels down and washes his feet.
Jesus knows that Judas has sold him out for a few silver coins. Jesus knows that before the night is up, this man will turn him over to an agonizing death. But that doesn't seem to make a difference. Jesus gently washes the filth of the streets from the feet of his betrayer.
You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. But if your teacher and Lord washes your feet, then you should also wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done for you.
This whole foot washing thing is so strange and foreign to us today. I want to make sure that we don't miss its implications, because it really does change everything. Jesus is saying, let me make this clear. The purpose of life is not to be the greatest, the wealthiest, or the most powerful. The purpose of life is not to have your needs met or your desires catered to. The purpose of life is to love others, to put their needs ahead of your own. It is to be a foot washer. Early in his ministry, Jesus gave this purpose statement for his life. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus says, "I came to give and I came to serve." And that is the road that we have been called to build.
The purpose of life is not to be the greatest, the wealthiest, or the most powerful. The purpose of life is not to have your needs met or your desires catered to. The purpose of life is to love others, to put their needs ahead of your own. It is to be a foot washer. Do you remember Sarah Gardner? Some of you probably do. She's passed away a few years ago. What a unique, incredible person. Tough as nails on the outside. I think she outlived three husbands. She lived out at the West End against the mountain. I remember going to visit her. She served as a deacon for a while in our church. I remember going to visit her. Loved it. Just loved it. She was in her 80s. Loaded shotgun behind the door. I say, "Sarah, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine, but those darn bears." And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Oh," she loved the garden, had flowers, a garden, and an orchard behind her trailer. She said, "Those bears were in my orchard again last night." And I said, "Really?" "Yeah, they're very destructive in a small orchard. They'll tear down the branches off your trees and everything." She said, "I chased them again." I'm going, "Oh, my word." She says, 80-year-old lady with a little shotgun chasing bears through the orchard. And she did it often. I don't think she ever shot at one, thank goodness, but she never got hurt, but she chased them many times. She said, "That darn bear keeps coming back, and I keep chasing it." I think they knew her by name. I don't know. But anyway, amazing lady. Tough as nails on the outside. One of her husbands abused her terribly. And just tough as nails. But she had a golden heart. A golden heart. And she made a mean apple pie. Our children were very young. And it was Christmas time. And we noted that she didn't have any Christmas decorations or Christmas tree or anything. She told me she couldn't afford it. So we got the idea one time that we were going to surprise her and give her a Christmas tree. I remember really well, we found, I didn't confer with Rose, her memory's a whole lot better than mine, but where we got the tree, whatever, I got a little, Charlie Brown tree, but it was a nice Charlie Brown tree. I don't know, was it artificial? It was real? I don't remember everything, but got this little tree. We went and bought the little holder for it, and the kids, we decorated this thing and put lights on it, and they made homemade decorations and whatever, and we decorated this thing, put it in a car, and drove out to Sarah's to surprise her with a Christmas tree. And we had a blast doing it, and making it and so on, all excited. If I remember correctly, we got it to the house. She wasn't there. So we left it outside at the very foot of her steps that went into her trailer, left a tree, and just left. And she was so delighted to find it. Somebody gave me a Christmas tree. And as I was thinking about this and thinking about this video and stuff, it just really dawned on me, my children washed her feet. My young children, they didn't know it was the idea of, too young to think about what's the purpose of my life. But even just instinctively, they just said, we want to do something for Sarah. And they served her. They washed her feet by giving her that little Christmas tree. It's the season of Lent. And if it's true that our primary purpose is to be feet washers, I'm wondering who is in your life? Who do you know who right now has dirty feet and they need to be washed? and they need to be washed by you. Whose feet can you wash between now and, you know, Easter? Kind of give you a project, a homework assignment. Whose feet can you wash? It might be somebody at work. It might be a family member. It might be a college roommate. It might be a college professor. It might be the person you're sitting next to right now. But whose feet can you wash? Who can you serve? Who can you do something special for? You know, this week, who can you do it? Who needs their feet washed? I want to challenge you this morning to be feet washers. You know, in about 2 weeks, it's Easter, and of course, Maundy Thursday is coming real quick, and we have Love Feast and Communion, and we wash feet as part of that very special time together. But you know, I'm afraid we forget. I know I forget. We forget. So often we fall into the trap, and we all do it, that, you know, it's all about me. We need to be reminded that it's not about me. It's about others. It's about loving and serving others. We need Love Feast and Communion because we need to be reminded of what it's all about. I also want to give you a second challenge. That on Maundy Thursday, you're here. That we gather together as family because we need to be reminded. Jesus said, you know, remember me when you take the cup and the bread and stuff. We forget. We need to be reminded. I know we're busy. We are incredibly busy. We're too busy. Please make it a point Maundy Thursday night to be here for Love Feast and Communion so we can remember and call upon the Holy Spirit to help us to remember. What's our purpose? It's to be feet washers. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time. I thank you for the memory of Sarah Gardner, Lord. I thank you that I could know her. I humbly thank you, Lord, for the fact that I was with her in the hospital when she drew her last breath, and I watched her enter glory. She was your servant. In many ways, she washed feet, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you for my children, Lord, and the lesson they taught me that day, that Christmas, about feet washing. Father, please, through the power of the Spirit, empower us to be feet washers, not just at Easter time, Lord, but all the time. And Lord, may we come together at Love Feast and Communion, and may we together be reminded that you called us to be servants. And may all the glory, Lord, come to you. In your name, amen.